The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, we can certainly nitpick some of what we saw tonight. But we did see a win. And after Friday night, witnessing Dame Lillard close the game out for the second time, five games into his Bucks career, tonight it was Giannis's turn. And look, we can pile on the three-point attempts. I am not going to try to persuade you that Giannis taking seven threes in a game is a good thing. Although, I said this on the network postgame, I'm not sure what this actually means. The Bucks are 22-8 in games where Giannis takes seven or more threes. Now, 22-8 is a... Tommy, you know, quick math, what's the winning percentage on that? 73% winning percentage.
That's pretty good. Well,
the Bucks as a team, since Giannis really started to ascend, so if we go back to 2018, are probably around like a 73% winning percentage. So kind of the chicken and the egg theory here. But the point is, I wish we all had the confidence that Giannis has. The one sequence I talked about with Dave as well, where it wasn't even a kick out. It was like a loose ball that landed in Giannis's hands. He took a three at the top of the key, missed it. Tip out goes right back to him, takes it again, and you can see Dame Lillard off to his left, kind of like, is this dude really going to shoot this again? And he hits it. I admire that from Giannis. But I think as the season progresses, as this offense gets more comfortable, there's still some things to work out vis-a-vis the spacing, knowing where guys are when we get Giannis driving and kicking. These were all things that were second nature because you ran a lot of the same offense and a lot of the same sets for 5 years. Now, as Adrian Griffin likes to keep pointing out, we're not reinventing the wheel, but we are changing some things. So there's these little aspects to the game that you're going to have to learn and build up that muscle mass and that memory over time. They're just not there yet. But as the season starts to move along and as that chemistry is there, as the spacing gets to a better spot, as it just becomes second nature for Giannis to know, oh, that's Beasley's going to be there. Maybe not directly in the corner. He's going to be down a couple of steps. Dame is here. I got to look to get him the ball back. All these things will start to improve. When we get there, then we can have the discussion of, hey, man, maybe don't take seven threes in a game. Maybe let this guy over there do it or that guy do it. We're fine with you taking three. But Giannis was the story of this game tonight and the biggest reason why the Bucks won this game. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line if you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And the other part is this. The sky was falling for a lot of this early season, given people pointing out, hey, the Bucks have the worst defensive rating in NBA history, four games into the season. Other people, I shouldn't even say people. I don't know who these people are. You just see the Twitter profiles that post, here's the Bucks defense. That's not good. Here's Dame Lillard. I don't know that he's committed to defense. Also, are we sure this was a good trade? Look at what the Celtics are doing. I mean, look, if you want to jump to broad conclusions in what would be the equivalent of three quarters of one game in an NFL season, if you want to have some broad takeaways from that, knock yourself out. I think we all had takeaways after one game, the Packers season, and they may not be what we thought they were. So let's just give this some time. I mention that because the Boston Celtics just lost in overtime to the Minnesota Timberwolves. That Timberwolves team is... Look, I know there was backlash to people saying, hey, you know, the Timberwolves actually gave the Nuggets the toughest series last year. Look out for them. That Timberwolves team is off to a nice start this year. Here's the point. The Bucks are one game out of first place in the Eastern Conference when that first place team has looked like an absolute juggernaut. So I think we can all give this a little bit of time to round into form. And look, by the way, I said this over the summer. Late summer. September 20, whatever it was, when the Bucks acquired Dame Lillard. I don't care, and nor should you, I don't care who is the perceived title favorite in September, in October, in November, in January, in March. Let's get to the playoffs. The team that's playing best as you move through March, as you get into April, as the playoffs start, that's what I care about. I don't care who says, oh, the Bucks are going to be the best team. You shouldn't be up in arms over the Celtics are going to be the title favorites. Look how that's worked out for all these other teams in the past. What Boston is doing, they look phenomenal. If they played tomorrow, would I pick the Celtics to beat the Bucks? Sure. But your goal is to be playing that team in May. And a lot can change between now and May. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We are just getting started. Plenty of time to hear from you. The Bucks, like we said, a game out of first place. Way too early, but a game out of first place. More after this. All right, so the Boston Celtics lose in overtime to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And with that, as I mentioned, we now are starting to have a logjam at the top of the Eastern Conference standings. It's early. We'll preface with all of that. But the Bucks are 4-2, the Sixers and the Celtics are 5-1. They've looked great, both of those teams. Philly, I mentioned Joel Embiid tonight, 48 points through three quarters. Everything's going right for them. Kelly Oubre has been all of the good and none of the bad so far for Philly. Tyrese Maxey has continued to burst onto the scene. Boston with maybe the greatest starting lineup ever assembled. A 5-1 start, their first loss coming tonight. They've all looked great. The Bucks have not looked great, but they're just a game back of that group. It's early, but my point is to demonstrate, look, just don't lose the rope. It's going to be a long process, and Dave, Kane, and I continue to point this out a lot. Starting to sound like a broken record. This is going to take time. This isn't going to be 10 games. This isn't going to be 20 games. Who knows? It could be 40 games. This could be all-star break type of stuff that we're looking at. But it's going to take time. Just hang in there while it takes that amount of time. And we'll see where things are at in the second half of the season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. That is the old National Bank talk and text line. Let's head to the phones and talk with Will I.M. What's going on, Will?
Hey, Justin. How we doing tonight? How's the team?
I think the team is good.
Good, good. I'm talking about your team. I know the team did wonderful this evening, watching it live and on the phone, ironically. Unfortunately, the place that I was watching at, their reception went down, so I had to pull out the phone. But hey, I am happy with the outcome, and people just need to relax a little bit. You know, it takes a little bit getting used to a car, a new sports car. You know, we're trying to figure things out, and every other night we will see something different and something fun. And tonight we got to see Chris and Giannis do what they do best and play like all-stars, you know, let Dame take a seat back for the night. And I can't be more happy. I'm just with you on Twitter. You know, I'll look at it on my, you know, time off at work. And I'll see these ridiculous statements about September, about how we're ranked horribly after five games. And, again, that's not even a sample size like you're talking about. And to all the people that are quick to jump and wondering what the deal is, you got to take it easy, man. We're so new into the season. And to top it all off, I feel that at the end of the games, when it really matters, we have the highest chance of winning. I feel it goes up even more, even though it doesn't look like we'll go into the fourth quarter looking like that. We might be a mess. It might be ugly. But when it comes to those final 2 minutes, I don't think any team can handle us.
That, I mean, that's a big thing. And thanks for the call, Will, that when you have Dame Lillard on your team, it changes a lot. Like, we go back to the Knicks game, go back to the Sixers game. You got a much different feeling when you have Damian Lillard as that guy that can take it home for you versus the group that this team had assembled the last couple of years. That is by no means me throwing shade at any of those guys, at Drew, at Grayson. It's just a much, much different player. And we talked about this quite a bit Friday night. It's a total package for Damian Lillard. Like, number one, his ability to get to the free throw line, not just in those late situations where you're trying to ice the game at the line. But if the offense isn't there, getting to the free throw line to snap a drought, Damian Lillard can do that. Going off, erupting like he did, 15 of the final 16 points for the Bucks were scored by Damian Lillard in that game against the Knicks. He did the same thing against the Sixers on opening night. But also, when you're trying to ice the game, you got a guy that you can look to of make sure we get the ball to Dame. In the past, it was, we feel good if Grayson goes to the line. We trust Chris. We trust Drew. But there wasn't that one bona fide guy. Dame is that guy. And not only that, Dame can free himself up to get the ball and get to the line. So it's a much, much different feeling to have a closer. As much as that word can get overused at times, it's just this different psychological feeling that this team has. The offense, to me, is the thing that looks like it's going to take the most time. I thought J.J. Redick talked about this, look, much better than I can on his latest podcast that came out today, I think it was. They talked about the Bucks' struggle specifically on the defensive end. And J.J. went back to his time as a player, referencing, look, when I was in Philadelphia, my first year there, we had, I think it was Lloyd Pierce, was their lead assistant then, before he eventually left to take the job as the head coach of the Hawks. We had Lloyd Pierce. Here's what we did. It worked great. We were one of the best defenses in the league. Everybody bought in. Everybody knew what they had to do. He leaves. He takes the job with the Hawks. We change our scheme to something completely different. And it didn't work for us. It was a much different approach where we just wanted to contest threes and we were asking our big man to basically cover up everything. And not that we got torched, but our defense slid from one of the top three to around 15th. And a big part of it is, number one, you're learning a new system and you're going away from your comfort zone. But as he put it, look, when it becomes mental, and when you have to think, wait a minute, is that my guy? Or wait, do I drop to the back line? Am I coming up? Am I blitzing here? Am I picking up this guy? Once those thoughts go through your head, you're done. Like, when you're overthinking, the offense has you. And that's what we went through a lot in Philadelphia. And he pointed this out because watching some of that tape, and look, nobody is going to sit here and say that game in Toronto was good by any means. It was bad. But these are all things you want to get out of the way. They're going to happen. You want to get them out of the way early in the season. And JJ brought all this up because he called that game, or he watched that game. He called the Bucks and the Knicks game. Watched that game and said, man, this is brutal. I got to throw away my notes for this. I got to burn this tape. And this reminds me of what we went through in Philadelphia, where I can see guys are overthinking and thinking here, where do I need to be? How many times, as you sit there and you think back to the first three games of the season, do you remember seeing that or hearing us talk about on the broadcast where you would see Patrick Mutombo, one of the assistants? I saw it a couple of times in that Sixers game, in the Hawks game, in the Heat game, but especially the Hawks game. Standing up off the bench and pointing out, no, Brooke, you got to slide down here. We need you here. We saw Chris do it as well. Like, it's going to take time for these guys to figure out, here's where the system wants me to be, but also, not to say buy in, but to also learn how to strike that balance. And I think we saw more of the balance tonight. Friday night against the Knicks was the, our guys want this. We got to kind of give them a shot in the arm and get some of this confidence. We're going to go back to the defense we played. They played, I should say, the last couple of years. Brook is going to be in drop. This is what we're going to do. It also helped. The Knicks are not a great offensive team. You exposed yourself to Jalen Brunson going off, and he did. But that's what we saw Friday. Tonight, we saw more of that hybrid that I think is going to be what you see a lot of going forward, is Griff figuring out how can I find or where can I find ways and spots to sprinkle in more of what I want to do. We saw a lot of that. And you think back to the way they closed the game. Giannis at the five. Jay out there. Like, these are all things that I think Adrian Griffin clearly wants to do. But you also have to play to what you have. And what you have is one of the best rim protectors in the league in Brook Lopez. So you've got to figure out a way, how do we strike that balance of utilizing Brook's strength and implementing some of these new things. And I think we saw some of that tonight. Now, 125, not great, right? Defense certainly not aided tonight, at least the defensive metrics. But the offense started to get better. Transition is still going to be a major problem for this team. That's going to be one of the bigger things. It takes a whole lot of time. The numbers don't jump off the page tonight. We can get into that when we come back. More time to hear from you as well. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. We mentioned transition and how important that would be in tonight's game. We will give you the final tally on those numbers and take a look at what's up next Wednesday night with the Pistons coming to Milwaukee, really this week ahead. Because what you saw tonight, you're going to see pretty close to it one more time this week. So we'll get into that after this on Bucks Talk.
Slings it back out to Payne, works it to Beauchamp, now on the right side, a three-pointer on the way, and Crowder sticks it from the right side. Jay Crowder has now hit 4 three-pointers for a second consecutive game.
All right, let's talk about Jay Crowder, too. We did a little bit Friday night after that Knicks win. He's been phenomenal to start the season. Phenomenal seems to be Griff's favorite word. We've heard Chris is phenomenal, Brooke is phenomenal, Giannis is phenomenal, Dame is phenomenal, campaign was phenomenal tonight. Jay Crowder has been phenomenal through these first six games. And I've seen this out there by a few people as well, but it's true. As we talk about this time and the process this is going to take for the Bucks to become the Bucks under Griff and to be that team that on paper in September was for 2 days, 3 days, whatever it was, these are the title favorites. It's going to take time for them to get there. But along the way, one of the more encouraging pieces to me has been Jay Crowder. Because our last memory of Jay Crowder a season ago was wondering, number one, well, why wasn't Jay Crowder playing? Correct me if I'm wrong. We gave up 5 second-round draft picks. And this was like our big acquisition at the deadline. This was the, as everybody wants to continue to chase the ghost of girlfriend's past, this was our PJ Tucker that we were bringing in. And you didn't really see him in that Heat series. Certainly not in the last couple of games. You think back to the standout moments that he had, really you would point to that Phoenix Suns game and the weekend that Jay Crowder had when he first joined the Bucks, where he had the Suns, he had the Brooklyn Nets, the Miami Heat, all of his former teams were there immediately. But the corner threes that he hit in that Suns game, that was probably peak Jay Crowder a season ago. And we saw these instances of Jay Crowder not looking like the Jay Crowder that we remembered seeing in the finals when he was with the Suns, in the bubble with the Miami Heat. And you start to think, man, did the Bucks give up 5 second-round picks, knowing full well, this was before the Dame trade as well, don't really have a whole lot of first-round capital. Like, they're going to have to live in the second round. Did they just throw away most of their draft assets on a guy that I don't think he's anywhere close to the guy that we hoped he would be, and who knows where he's going to be next season. And Jay Crowder decided to come back. Now, look, I think a big part of why Jay Crowder came back was the coaching change. But I think a big part of why Jay Crowder has looked as good as he has so far to start this season is a couple of things. Number one, it's one thing to be in shape, and we talked about this a little bit last year at the time the Bucks acquired him, but you do have to remember, he wasn't playing in games with the Suns. For whatever reason, there was the falling out between he and Monty Williams and the Suns organization. He was allowed to be away from the team. They would look for offers, shop him around, and gave him same thing we saw with James Harden, basically. I give you my word, I'll trade you. Fine. Stay away from the team. Do whatever it is you need to do. We'll find you a new home. It's one thing to be in shape and to be doing cardio. And like, hey, I'm in great shape. It's another thing to be in game shape and to go through those games back-to-backs, the rigors of an NBA schedule. And I think that was a big part of what we saw last year. We also saw last year, Jay Crowder defensively, I don't know if he's the guy that can take on multiple positions. If he can defend fours and threes and twos, it seems like he's basically a small ball four. He's looked great this season. And I think playing in those games, going through camp with this team, going through the offseason program, again, he did not do that with the Suns last year. All of those reps, I think, are a big reason why. And also, it's still TBD in terms of the matchups when you think about the Boston Celtics, for reference, and guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday. It's still TBD on what perimeter guys Jay can take. But we've seen him take on that assignment with other guys, and he's held up. So Jay Crowder looking maybe not like the guy he was in the bubble with the Miami Heat, but certainly not the guy that we saw last year. That's been huge for the Bucks. Just six games, yeah. But that was one of the big things. Jay Crowder and Chris Middleton. What if these guys look like they looked to close out the season? Like, are we sure what this team's window is? And what we've seen so far is those two guys do not look like the guys they were at the end of the season a year ago. That gives you confidence. Everybody wants Marjan Beauchamp to succeed. I think a lot of it is you do see potential. We've seen it in the regular season. We certainly saw it in the preseason. We saw it in the Pro-Am when he scored 83 points. There is clearly potential there that we have seen. We're also putting a lot of hope into this. Of like, man, I just want Marjan Beauchamp to develop. Marjan Beauchamp has looked fine as well. And Marjan Beauchamp has looked good enough. Fine is maybe underselling it. Marjan Beauchamp has looked good enough that you feel like he can play in the playoffs. I'm not suggesting he's going to be a heavy minutes guy. There's a good chance he gets there this season. But you've seen enough thus far to say he can at least play in the playoffs. Now, should he have last year? An entirely different conversation. But those three guys, a lot was hanging on them. Sure, there's a ton on Giannis and there's a ton on Dame. But those three guys were important because you need perimeter defenders, number one. Jay's looked okay. Chris has looked okay. Marjan has looked up to the task. And also, you still need something more than Giannis and Dame. And Chris has certainly looked to be that guy. So that, to me, six games in, if we can make any overreactions and take small sample size, what can we pull too much out of at this point? To me, it's those three guys. Of a lot riding on that trio. And so far, they look like best case scenario opposed to the worst case scenario. 855-616-1620. Old National Bank talk and text line. Still some time to jump into the conversation here before we wrap things up. I mentioned the transition. I have a feeling we're going to go over this every single game. Because this Bucks defense, I haven't checked. We'll do that and give you the numbers when we come back, but I haven't checked after tonight's performance. Not going to help the defensive rating when you yield 125 points, right? But I have a feeling transition, not just defense, offense as well. Both sides of transition is an area we are going to specifically make note of each and every game this season. Spoiler alert, it was not great tonight. We'll give you the details and see where the Bucks stand after this on Bucks Talk. All right, I said we'd dig into the numbers here. Tommy, do you want the good or the bad first?
Gotta start with the bad.
All right, the bad is this game did nothing to help the defensive rating. Now, I suppose you could, if you want to be the optimist, this could be lumped into good news as well, as I believe the Bucks entered the game tonight with the 24th ranked defense, although maybe it was 26. It was in the 20s. It wasn't great, Bob. 24th is where they currently sit at a 116.7 defensive rating. Yikes.
What does first place have for reference?
100.7.
That's a lot. Is that Boston?
16 points per possession better than the 24th ranked Milwaukee Bucks. That is the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are also 4-2. The Bucks offense is currently 10th at 114.4. So, again, offense, look, when we say it's going to take time, we're not just talking about the defense. The offense is going to take time, too. Now, you may ask yourself, isn't a top 10 ranking good? I mean, it's fine. It's better than bad. But I do believe this team is going to be, I think the benchmark I set was top three coming into the season. I still think they're going to get close to that. I feel confident enough to say, really big limb I'm going out on here, but the Bucks will finish the season with a top five ranked offense. It's just going to take time to get there. But you saw tonight. Offense, I wouldn't say looked great. Put up 129 points. Part of that is a product of the league. There's more scoring. But for all the struggles and the travails of this Bucks group learning each other, 129 points that they put up tonight. Missed their first six threes of the game. The starters were terrible from three. Giannis took seven threes, and they scored 129 points. So it's going to get there. This week, you have the Indiana Pacers on night two of a back-to-back Thursday night. The Pacers right now have the top-ranked offense in the league. They also have the 26th-ranked defense. So that game Thursday night in Indy could be like the Indy 500, as in 500 combined points in that game. And then you got the Pistons on Wednesday. We mentioned we would take a look at what Detroit brings to the table here. And the long and short of it is not much. No offense to our friends in the Motor City, but the Pistons rated 18th. In defense, and it's six games that we're talking about here. 18th in defense, 17th in offense.
Are they
very mid, as you and your generation would say?
We would say mid, yes. Are they still, we talked about the transition being a problem for them. Are they still near the
Pistons?
Top? No, for the Bucks. Are they still one of the older teams in the league? Are they the oldest team in the league still? I know, I mean, they get a little younger when Drew left, but like by months with Dame, I think it was.
Right, like they didn't get younger. Well, they got basically the exact same age by days.
Right. But I mean, they've added in like AJJ and, you know, Ty. I didn't know if it made them any younger. I knew last year they were the oldest team in the league. Are they still?
Ty?
Isn't it Ty Washington?
It is Ty, but you're referencing a G League two-way contract?
I don't know if that impacts the age difference, doesn't it?
Look, it helps, but you still have, as you mentioned, the same age of point guard. You have a mid-30s big man in Brook. You have Chris Middleton, who has now entered his 30s as well.
Giannis is 10th year.
Bobby Portis, who's starting to get up there, too. So it's still a very old team by the numbers. But transition, I don't think that is the issue here. It's, and I think the first time you hear it, you can kind of roll your eyes. But the first time that Griff was asked about this, he had said, like, it's a two-way street. Like, what was wrong with the transition defense? And he was quick to point out, well, it's actually our offense that you got to do a better job. Like, you got to hunt better shots. You got to put your defense in a better spot that we can't just constantly be putting them in transition. And that's what we had seen, that the Bucks were the team more than any team in this league thus far that were giving their opponents the most transition opportunities. And when their opponents were getting in transition, they were doing the worst job of defending that. And it's the same on offense. So after tonight's game, the Bucks are allowing 25% of their opponent's possessions to be in transition. That is not good. The league average is about 79. The league average is about 21%. Bucks are at 25%. That is the worst in the league. The most transition opportunities that we have seen from any team. And when their opponents get in transition, they did a little better tonight because the Bucks were dead last. They're 29th right now, trailing only the Denver Nuggets. Frequency, they're last. Efficiency, they're second to last. Points per possession, they're last. It's not great what we've seen. And if you go by cleaning the glasses numbers to take all the garbage time out of it, and we just look at the overall defense, I mentioned that number where the Bucks currently sat at 24. It's actually 28 if you take out some of the garbage time. And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of garbage time with the Raptors and those Hawks games. So there is a lot to improve upon defensively. But it's not just defense. When we highlight transition, the Bucks are getting into transition right now at a rate that is not last, but it's in the bottom 10. 80% of the time, their offense is running to the half court. So basically 20% of their possessions are coming in transition. 23rd in the league. Offensive rebounding rate is down as well, just 23% rebounding rate on the offensive glass. They were very good at it last year. That's 26th in the NBA. And just as we saw defensively, although this one's even more alarming, when the Bucks get in transition, they are not capitalizing. 30th in efficiency. Their offensive rating is less than 90. There are two teams that have an offensive rating in transition that is less than 100. The Bucks and the Clippers. Now, to your point, Tommy, those are two very old teams. Suns are old too, though. Suns are third to last. So the Bucks are not getting enough transition opportunities, and when they do get them, they're not scoring. Defensively, they're giving up way too many transition opportunities, and when the opponent gets in transition, they're scoring. So you look back to Friday night against the Knicks, and you say, man, look at the shooting that the Bucks had. How was this close? Knicks got in transition, Knicks scored in transition, and the Knicks were just pounding the Bucks on the offensive glass. Rebounding improved a little bit tonight. Transition improved a little bit. Wasn't great. Brooklyn still outperformed them. But incremental improvements. That's going to be the story of these next, I'm going to say through Christmas, probably into January. Incremental improvements. We'll wrap up the show after this. Bucks win, by the way, 129 to 125. Your Bucks, now just a game out of first place in the Eastern Conference. We will take a look at the Detroit Pistons and the Bucks' next game. That is going to be Wednesday night. We'll preview the matchup after this on Bucks Talk. All right, Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets, almost said the Pistons. Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets. They play the Pistons on Wednesday night at Fiserv Forum. So a lot to look ahead to this week. We have the Pistons coming to town on Wednesday, our first look at that young team, led by Monty Williams, the highest paid coach in NBA history. Then you have another back-to-back with another team, just like tonight's opponent. A lot of ball-handling guards that are going to get up and down the floor in the Indiana Pacers on Thursday night. And Saturday, a special 5 o'clock tip time. Man, is there anything better than afternoon basketball on the weekend? Saturday in Orlando against another young team, the Magic. But this Pistons team, they have some nice pieces. Have not found success just quite yet, obviously. Cade Cunningham has clearly been the number one guy on that team. He has played in each of their seven games, a lot of guys that they have. But Cade Cunningham has been the story, averaging more than 20 points and 7 assists per game. And Ausar Thompson, the rookie, has basically done everything for the Pistons. 11 points, 9 boards, 4 assists. So some nice pieces there. And Jalen Duren with what is building to be a breakout performance so far this season. They're rim-running big. So they have some nice pieces. Just feels like it's going to continue to take some time. So I think as we've started to experience here, this isn't like the last 5 years when you knew the Bucks are better than this team. Therefore, they will win this game. Like, there's a lot more that's going into it, especially in the early going here under Griff. But you can win that game, you're 5-2. If you can win in Indy, you're 6-2. So, look, there's a very real chance Bucks could leave this week at 6-3. I think that's what you should be shooting for. We said from the start, they might be 500. They may be 6-4 after their first 10 games of the season. You can get to 6-3 through the end of this week. I think that's a step in the right direction for this team. And then you have the Bulls at home who are going through it right now. So look, 7-3 is not out of the realm of possibility despite all the struggles that this team has been going through. Wednesday night, the Bucks and the Pistons. It is at Fiserv Forum. It's a 7 o'clock tip-off. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins with yours truly and Dave Kane. And as always, stay tuned in and stick around for Bucks Talk. As soon as that game ends, we'll take your thoughts on that game, your calls, your texts, all of it, your tweets as well. We'll get to it on Bucks Talk. My thanks to everybody for tuning in, to Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. And we will talk to you Wednesday night with more Bucks Talk.